Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and, of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Dune Part 2, Out of Darkness, and Monster.
Well, today I want to operate a real time machine here because we're going to start off with a movie that takes place something like 20,000 years in the future. And then I want to go to a movie that takes place 45,000 years in the past. So my gosh, what a lot of hopping about in time here. But that's the magic of movies. And yes, the first movie I would like to talk about today is Dune Part 2. This is, I guess, the third major film to be made from Dune, actually completed and released. David Lynch did a version way back in 1984, which is it's an interesting movie. It certainly has its problems, but as always with David Lynch films, there's a lot of fascinating stuff in there as well. But yes, just a couple of years ago, the Canadian filmmaker Denis Villeneuve made a movie of Dune, and now we have the sequel, Dune Part 2, which has always been in the works. And wouldn't you know, Villeneuve is even now working on Dune Part 3, which will, I guess, be based on a subsequent novel in the series. So, a lot of Dune stuff, and this is the second of what will apparently eventually be a trilogy by Denis Villeneuve, based, of course, on the novel by Frank Herbert. And so here's a little bit of the setup for Dune for anybody who has been living in a cave or in a dune and hasn't been aware of what all this is about. As the title suggests, yes, there's lots and lots of sand all over the place. And we are, again, way, way, way in the future. And a lot of the action takes place on this planet called Arrakis, which is a desert, the whole planet, basically. And the most important thing there is spice. In fact, Part 2 of Dune begins with a blank screen and the words, "Power over spice is power over all." And yes, just as in days of yore in the real world, a few centuries ago, spice is enormously important. But it's not just enormously important, it's all important. Because among other things, it allows people to have these sort of extrasensory powers, which enable them to manage their lives in the absence of mechanical aids, which have been forbidden for reasons I won't get into. And it enables space travel, and it enables all kinds of things. So spice is crucially, crucially, crucially important. And so people are always fighting over spice, and there are enormous wars over spices. And there are a couple of major, as they say, houses. The houses of Harkonnen and the houses of the Atreides, which are in tremendous rivalry with each other, and there are all kinds of skullduggery and plotting and scheming goes on, and violence between these two powerful houses. So that's the basic setup. So we have our main character, Paul Atreides, played by Timothée Chalamet, and his mother is Lady Jessica, who is played by Rebecca Ferguson, and she is a member of what's called the B'nai Gesserit, which is a mystical organization of women who are sort of behind the scenes, sort of just sort of manipulating things all the time. And the whole idea is that they are always hoping that she will give birth to a daughter who would then herself give birth to the Kwisatz Haderach, which would be a male B'nai Gesserit who would be sort of a messiah for the planet. Apparently, Frank Herbert intended the novel as a sort of a statement against all-powerful people and messiahs and dictators and things like that. But interestingly enough, these people seem to want to have this messiah come along. So, all kinds of things happen. Again, there's a lot of violence and there's a lot of, all different kinds of mayhem and complication and whatnot. So I had mixed feelings about the first of the Denis Villeneuve movies, Dune a couple of years ago. I thought parts of it were pretty good. Overall, it just sort of, I felt like a letdown. Above all, the acting seemed kind of bland. Yes, there were all these special effects. Yes, there was all this sand. Yes, it was all sort of fantastical. But hey, it just sort of sat there for me. Parts of it were good, but a lot of it just sort of, I didn't find very interesting. I actually think Dune Part 2 is better. For one thing, it has, although he doesn't have a huge part, Christopher Walken, who I always like to see, playing the Emperor Shaddam, and has some other characters who now come along into the story for the first time. And of course, once again, we see what is the big special effects selling point of these movies, which are the sandworms. The sandworms are these gigantic creatures, and I honestly suspect that one of the reasons why David Lynch wanted to adapt Dune way back in the 80s was because he was fascinated by, first of all, the textures of all that sand, and secondly, the excitement of the sandworms. So anyway, yes, 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 it takes a little while before Dune Part 2 actually gets to putting the sandworms on screen, but we see them, and they're menacing, and they're scary, and one of the things that really brave people have to do is to hop onto sandworms and ride them, even though they're these gigantic, enormous, fast-moving creatures. Anyway, so that's all well done. The special effects of Dune Part 2, as the special effects in Dune, the movie a couple of years ago, are all very, very good, very persuasive, and you sort of get involved in the action. And yeah, it's a good movie. I don't think it's a great movie. I don't think it's a great science fiction movie. I've read the novel more than once, Dune by Frank Herbert, and you know, I don't really think that it's a great masterpiece of science fiction. But you know, it's good stuff, and the movie is good stuff, and the Part 2 movie is good stuff. I think Dune Part 2 is even better than Dune Part 1, and I recommend it for anybody who likes science fiction. Of course, they don't need my recommendation. They're going to go see it anyway. Next movie I'd like to talk about is, as I suggested earlier, set way, way in the past, 45,000 years in the past, and it's called Out of Darkness. And this is a movie which is basically about what we might now call cave persons. They obviously are living a very, very long time ago. They are way, way, way prehistoric, and they live in a very unsettled, uncivilized land. And the movie deals with a very small group of these people. There's only a handful of characters in this film. I should mention that the movie was shot in the Scottish Highlands during the pandemic, so it makes sense that it would take place in the middle of nowhere and be about a very small group of characters. Because that would be something you could handle during the pandemic. So, Out of Darkness has this small group of characters, and basically they need to find a new place to live because they are in terrible danger where they are, and so they get into a boat and they travel some long, long distance, and they arrive in the new land, and of course they are expecting a land of milk and honey, and of course what they find is a very wild place, and yes, they are menaced by unseen adversaries who are somehow out there in the darkness, and the movie is in fact, as I mentioned, called Out of Darkness. So that's the basic setup for Out of Darkness. And yes, there's a lot of darkness in it. The filming tends to be rather dim, and a lot of shadows and a lot of under big trees where there's not a whole lot of sunlight, and sometimes they go into a cave, this and that and the other thing. And yes, once again, there's quite a lot of violence, and for a long time we don't really know who's doing the violence, and then eventually we start to get ideas about who's attacking our little band. Of course, we're on their side because they're our main characters. And then the end of the movie takes a sort of a twist, in a sort of a somewhat sunny way, somewhat optimistic way. So we might say that the story, in certain respects, itself comes out of the darkness of most of the running time. So, Dune Part 2 has gotten very, very good reviews for the most part. Out of Darkness has gotten really good reviews for the most part also. And interestingly, a lot of people sort of talk about how persuasive it is and how convincing it is and how the costumes and the settings and all that seem very authentic and seem very real. And okay, all that is fine, but there was one big note of inauthenticity which really bothered me throughout, and that is that these people never struck me as being remotely prehistoric. Of course, they're wearing furs and they're using spears that they whittled out of wood and bone and stuff like that. Of course, all those details are there. And yes, these are prehistoric people and they're living a very, very long time ago, the kinds of lives that people lived a very long time ago. But their body language, their facial expressions, their manner of speaking is just like us, just like regular, ordinary American people, Western people. That's what they're like all the way. Now, to the movie's credit, it does a very ambitious thing. It invents a language. So when you're watching it, these people are all talking in some different language, and no matter what your own language is, you're going to be watching this with subtitles. And it's a movie that was actually a language that was actually devised by the makers of the movie. Okay, that's very interesting, and that's a bold move, and I think it's fascinating that they did that. And I think it's pretty successful. It sounds to me like a real language. But again, the big problem with this movie, and since it's in every frame of the movie all the way through, it just bothered me that nothing in their behaviors or their ways of speaking that strange language or anything else are like what I might expect from authentic people from a time and place and culture so utterly, drastically, radically different from mine, or I think from all of ours. So Out of Darkness is a pretty effective action movie. And by the way, it sort of builds a science fiction movie and a horror movie. No, it's basically an action movie. Once you accept the premise, it's basically people running around in the forest or in the clearings and trying to escape danger. And on that level, it's done well enough. But it really never captured my heart. And I have to say that I really wish the people had been a little bit more, to use the word in a very broad sense, alien. They're just too much like me to be persuasive as people who are actually living and running and chasing about 45,000 years ago. So for me, a very mixed review, even a negative review of Out of Darkness. And our final movie, Monster, is a new movie by the very, very major Japanese filmmaker Hirokazu Koreeda. He's been around for a very long time, and he's a very major filmmaker, as I said, very, very important. He's made a lot of really important films. And talk about reviews. The reviews for Monster, his new movie, have been not just good, but ecstatic, pretty much unanimously. So, okay, I agree, it's a very good movie. I don't think it's a masterpiece, but yeah, it's a very good movie. Is it about a monster? Not really. It's really about a couple of kids and the people around these couple of kids. So the first people we meet in the movie are a little boy named Minato and his mother, whose name is Saori. And the first thing we see, the first time we see Minato, he is walking near a fire, a huge fire that's burning this huge industrial place. And you start to wonder, why is he there? Could he possibly be connected with this fire somehow? Then he gets home, and yeah, his mother starts to wonder. They're just not about the fire. There's a couple of peculiar things about her little boy here. What's going on with him? He seems to be injured in some small way, and all of a sudden he goes in the bathroom and cuts his hair for some reason. And anyway, what's going on? Then something really strange happens, which is that he starts expressing extreme worry that somebody might have transplanted his brain, replacing it with a pig's brain. He is now a pig. And that is where we first get the idea of a monster in this movie. Is this boy right? Could there be something like that going on here? So the mother starts to investigate this, and she finds out that something somewhat, maybe slightly traumatic, did happen to her son recently. He was apparently physically attacked by one of his teachers at school, a guy named Mr. Hori. And by the way, Mr. Hori is already in our minds because there's a rumor that he was in this place that just burned down. And that was a sort of a hostess bar. And why was a school teacher in this disreputable place? So now we find out that he apparently actually attacked this little boy. So what's going on here? Could that have something to do with his sudden idea that there's something wrong with him, wrong with his brain, that he's now partly a pig? Well, as the movie goes on, we start to meet other characters. We meet another little boy who is somehow also involved in some of this stuff. We meet that boy's father farther down in the road. That's second little boy, his father, who is sort of a strange dude himself. And we get to know the principal of the school, who is facing her own terrible trouble. Apparently her grandson was just killed in a terrible automobile accident caused by the principal's son. But then again, there's a rumor that maybe it was the principal herself who killed her own grandson by accident. And so she can't really deal with the problems involving our main characters because she's caught up in this trauma of her own, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it's a somewhat complicated movie, and I would say that for about the first half, it is absolutely lucid, involving, and engrossing and just terrific. And it just really pulled me in and held me. As more characters get added, and as the situation gets somewhat more psychologically complicated, and even just complicated in terms of the events that are going on, I found the movie to become somewhat scattered. And that's my big reservation about it. If only it had kept up this good, solid, completely clear, engrossing approach of the first half, I think it would be a better movie. The trouble is it overcomplicates itself. Now, again, some of the people who are giving it all these ecstatic reviews are saying things like, well, the psychological complexities are what's interesting about the movie. And I agree. They are very, very interesting. I do think, however, that the movie could have indulged in this complexity and indulged in these ambiguities and ambivalences without quite getting as scattered as it seems to me to do on the second half. That said, it's a fascinating movie. It's one of the better movies, certainly, that I've seen in recent months. And I am just always glad to see that a master filmmaker like Hirokazu Koreeda is still on the scene. Koreeda is a very important figure in contemporary film, and Monster is maybe not his greatest movie, but certainly a very, very fine movie. So that is my somewhat time-jumping story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Dune Part 2, Out of Darkness, and Monster.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera National Theater Live and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.